It's a great day, isn't it? It's actually somewhat cool outside, so that's probably the last time for the year, but it's great. So excited that you guys are here. If you're a guest, welcome. Just want to say it's good to have you this morning, and my heart is that you can really just hear from God and meet some godly people today. We're actually starting a brand new series on relationships called Uncommon, talking about uncommon relationships, and we're going to get into that in just a moment, but I have just a few announcements first. The first one is this. You saw the motorcycles outside. We are really supporting CMA, which is the Christian Motorcycle Association, as they prepare for next week their one and annual only fun drive, not F-U-N, F-U-N-D, like money, because they raise funds for international missions. It's the Run for the Sun, and so we're helping promote them for that. Last year, they raised over $4.5 million supporting missions all over the world. Isn't that awesome? You can give those guys a hand. And we have our local chapter representatives here, and we'll be blessing them and praying over them and their motorcycles and their mission. That's one thing. The next thing is Easter was awesome. We saw 1,460 people come, but over 80 decisions for Christ. Can we give some a hand for that? That's great stuff. We've been growing, we're continuing to grow, and so part of that is we're continuing with our even greater campaign, and in fact, on Tuesday, we started construction, and I think we have some pictures of what we're doing. We started construction on our children's facilities, which we're completely remodeling so that it'll be much safer, much better flow, a better space for our kids, and much more secure. That's our kids. They have the check-in, new check-in, kids hall, nursery. So they are actually kids' church. If you checked in kids, you know that they're in a new facility that we renovated just a few months ago in preparation for this in our theater room, which is our old sanctuary. And we'll be doing the kids' facility, and then also the foyer will be completely remodeled and making more room because it can be tight and crazy. For those of you that have been here for a while, you're like, yeah, I get to hug on people whether I like it or not. But for guests, that's really awkward. So we're going to make that much bigger. We're actually going to take, and you can see all the way out to where those big white beams on the porch are, we're taking the foyer out to those, and then we'll re-pour a whole front area and new landing and drive-through and all of that. So thank you guys for giving, and you're going to have opportunities to partner with us in that in the future if you like. But really, I say it all the time, it's so true, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And my heart for everyone here is that you can walk out the purpose and the plan that God has for you. And my heart in this series is that the relationships that you have get better and better. Because I firmly believe what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And there is no amount of stuff that will fill and bridge the gap between you with terrible relationships. Lots of stuff doesn't make terrible relationships. It doesn't make your life any better, does it? Does it? Because some of y'all are sounding like, man, I'll just take the stuff and have terrible relationships. The Bible's actually really, really clear about that. Proverbs, Solomon writes, and he said that it's better to live in a corner of the attic, basically, I'm paraphrasing, than to live in a house with a contentious wife. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. If our relationships are down here, it doesn't matter how much social status we have up here, how much money we have up here, how much power we have up here. If everything and every person around us were in a bad relationship, life is bad. And there's a principle there that I want you to get, is the principle of the firsts, the first. And when you put God first and your relationship with Him is at the top of the list, then everything underneath, as you prioritize that, everything that falls underneath it and every relationship that you have will grow in a importance to the purpose and the plan that He has for you, and that's my passion for you. So it's uncommon love today is what we're talking about. And you can get out the notes that you had in the worship guide, or you can pull out your phone, download the app. If you don't have it, you can take notes on there and then email them to yourself. Kind of cool, isn't it? Y'all going to talk to me this morning? Am I just going to be talking at y'all? Y'all going to talk to me? Good, because my heart is that you can see the first foundation stone of healthy relationships is love. But the world has a really messed up model of what love is. If we look at social media, if we look at mainstream media and television, cable networks and movies, love is really this really awkward thing. And the models that we have around us oftentimes are pretty terrible in how to have a loving and healthy relationship. I'm blessed. I grew up in a family with a mom and dad who loved each other. They loved God. They loved me. They loved my sister. It was a healthy environment, and it was an excellent model to look at. And even with a good model to look at, guess what? I totally tanked marriage for quite a number of years because the relationships that we have oftentimes will be interpreted through the lens, not just of the good models that we have. Anybody here, you know some good models that you can look at in relationships, whether it's marriage or friends or family or... Yeah, you have good models, but so often the enemy creeps in and we emulate the bad models and don't even mean to. And my heart for you is that you can get God's theme for us in all of this. Here it is. You ready? Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a paraphrase. It's out of the Message and it's Paul writing. He said, so here's what I want you to do. It's our theme scripture for this relationship series. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Man, my heart is that you guys can place your life before God as an offering. In preparation for this message, I mean, I'm coming out of 21, so we did 21 days of prayer and fasting leading up to Easter. And it was awesome. We're up here every day praying, 6 a.m. praying. I'm really spending a lot of time in prayer, spending time with God. And in this last week, as I'm preparing for this, even this morning as I was reading through my message and I was reading this, that you placed your life before God as an offering. God just spoke to me. And I just felt like I really just needed to recommit my life to Him. I mean, there's no obvious sin. There's no big failure or shortcoming. But I just felt like there was a need for me to, in that moment, recommit. Lord, I am surrendering my life to you. And I'm not just surrendering my life to you. I'm surrendering my life to you, knowing that it's also a surrender for the people around me that I love and care for the most. A recommitment, Lord, because what does it say? I'm giving my life. I'm placing it before God as an offering. It goes on, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Our culture's messed up, isn't it? And it's easy to fall in line with what the culture says a relationship would look like. But it's not necessarily what God says a relationship should look like. And so maybe I should spend less time on a Facebook feed on whatever post says about relationships, and maybe I should go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about how we're to live our life. And here it is. This is how. Instead, this is it, because here's the key. You ready? Fix your attention on God. Everybody say fix your attention on God. That is the key, because whatever you focus on is going to be magnified in your life. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, and we need it sometimes. We need to get the junk on the inside. We come to church and look sharp. Somebody said, ooh, you look extra nice today. Probably because I'm wearing a jacket and cowboy boots. That always dresses up a man. My wife doesn't believe that, but the boots do. I'm just saying. Some of us, we look good on the outside, but there's some junk on the inside that God wants to address, and I really believe even today. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and He develops well-formed maturity in you. My heart for you is that you can recognize that when you lay down your life as an offering for God, when you focus your attention on Him, He takes the immature areas in your life and He brings them to maturity. And I know what it's like to live a life that is immature. It's easy. It's focused on you. It's not worried about what other people or even God is concerned with. You're primarily focused on you. And my heart is that you can grow in spiritual maturity, but it begins when you lay down your life as an offering to God. And it continues as you daily focus on Him and take your eyes off of all the craziness of the world around us. Is the world crazy? Absolutely, it 100% is. And if we're not careful, we'll, before we even realize it, we'll get just whipped into the tornado of nutso that's all around us all the time. Y'all know what it's like, don't you? Whew, I don't want that for you guys. So how do we reset our relationships? We do them God's way. My prayer for you today is that you commit to do your relationships God's way. God's way. I remember when Lisa and I were dating, you know, we're trying to have a great relationship. And while we were dating, we actually did, but we did come to this kind of impact. We never could find our song. Anybody here, you got a song for you? Yeah, anybody got like, come on, don't be ashamed. We got a song. I got it. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. That's a good thing. Come on, you got a song? That's awesome. I'm glad y'all got a song. We couldn't decide on songs, you know, because my wife was like, I love Michael Bolton or Percy Sledge. This is Michael Bolton. When a man loves a woman. Y'all know the song. When a man loves a woman. I can't do Michael Bolton, and I'm way too white to do Percy Sledge. So, and then I was like, when a man loves a woman, that sounds good. Have you read the lyrics to When a Man Loves a Woman? I'm going to read them. Can we do that? I just busted them out. When a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'll trade the world for the good thing he's found. That's pretty good, you know. If she's bad, he can't see it. Wait a minute, what? I can't. You got to be. She can do no wrong. Now, we're going to have to talk about this. He could turn his back on his best friend if he put her down. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. When a man loves a woman, he'll spend his very last dime. Say what? Come on now. I've already done that. Trying to hold on to what he needs, he'll give up all his comfort. He'll give up all his comfort? Give up all my comfort. Sleep out in the rain. Hold on, time out. That's what, look, I'll take the couch, baby, but I don't think I'm going to go out and lose my comfort and sleep in the rain. If she said, that's the way it ought to be. I was like, you know what? We'll do When a Man Loves a Woman. If I can, like, that can be your love song for me, but I got one for you. Y'all ready? Because I grew up in the 80s now, a child of the 80s and the 90s. I get it. I love the Police. Y'all remember the Police? This is my song. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Woo, we needed help. We needed help. We were not doing relationship God's way. And my heart for all of us is that we can recognize that God has a purpose and a plan. He has his way. His way is really the 3:16 principle. And you can see that in your notes. The 3:16 principle is based out of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So often we think that the verb of the Bible is love. Really, the verb of the Bible is gave. It's give. The verb of the Bible is give. And because God loved, he gave. And we're called to embrace that love, reciprocate that love, show God that, give it back to God and to others. That's why every one of our, you'll see it when you come in on the little wristbands, it's all over. Love God, love people, serve all. That's who we are, because we must be a people that recognize that God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. That is an uncommon love. And my heart today is that you can understand what it means to embrace and exhibit an uncommon love. I want you to embrace and exhibit an uncommon love. So I want to look at just a few keys of God's love. God's love is five things. The first one, God's love is unconditional. And I really believe that that for many people is easy to get with their head, but not so much with their heart, because we can get, yeah, it doesn't matter what I do. I can have done some stupid things, done some terrible, horrible, horrific things. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, God loves me in spite of that. It is one thing to say that with your head. It is another thing to have the revelation in your heart, because the tactic of the enemy is to get us to the place where we feel like we are not loved by God. I've been there before. And I'm just going to say this. It's not because I didn't think God was like, didn't love me. I knew in my head that he didn't love me. But in my heart, I really believed that there was no way that he could love me. Has anybody ever had that contradiction? Like, man, I know God, doesn't matter what I do, God loves me. And then in the depths of who we are, we're going, yeah, right. Look at you, you scumbag. You're pathetic. Can you believe that you said this? Can you believe that you went here? Can you believe that you did this? What are you? And there's this disconnect from God. And I'm just convinced lots of people miss God by 18 inches from here to here. God's love is unconditional. And I pray that you have a revelation of that. And we can say, well, I get it, because, you know, I have kids, and there's nothing they could ever do that would keep me from loving them. And it's true. You know, we may not be pleased with the decisions our children make. We may not be pleased and happy that they're doing what they're doing, but it doesn't affect our love. And we know that. I know that as a parent. But do I embrace that as a son, as a child of God? when I've really messed up my way. We'll never have a full revelation of love unless we have the revelation that God loves us unconditionally. Because the tactic of the enemy, you got to get this, is condemnation. If he can make you feel just so disconnected that you feel, even though you know it may not be true, that God can't possibly love you, the enemy has won, and there's a chasm between you and God. Not that God has built, but that you've dug out with a lie of the enemy, and the lie of the enemy is you are not loved. You are not, yes, you are. It does not matter what you've done. It may not be pleasing to God. Heck, it probably wasn't even pleasing to you in the long run. But you are not separated by God because of God. You're separated from God because of the lie that you've believed and the fact that you've stepped back. How can you love me, God? I'm a total train wreck. The separation between us and God is never one that God initiates. In fact, as you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, his heart and his desire is for you, and he pursues us and he runs after us. We're the one that step back. And one way that we can step back is that we believe the lie that God has ceased to love us, or there's no possible way. God's love is unconditional. The other thing that I want you to get, the other four, is God's love is sacrificial. That meant it cost him something. It cost him the greatest gift ever. God did not say, I shall come and die as the penalty and the payment for the curse of sin. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to send something more valuable than me. I'm sending my son. And he demonstrated his love for us. When we were at our worst, God was at his best, and Jesus sacrificed his life for us. God's love is sacrificial. It costs something. God's love is personable. It's personable. That means it's something that we can experience. It's not some religious rite. It's not some act that we partake in when we receive communion. God's love is personable. That means that we can experience God's love every day. I may not feel the love of God every day. I may not feel the love of my wife and every day. Sometimes I may not even feel the love of my children every day, but every day I can experience that love. I can experience that love with my wife, because she'll still pick out my clothes for me because I'm colorblind and have bad style. And I may not, we may have been at odds, but if I go to her and go, I'm hanging stuff, like, no, that doesn't work. You need to find something else. And then I'll go, and she'll pick something out for her. There can be no feelings. We can still be, it kind of be like in the flesh. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like where it's like, but I can still experience that love, because love is much more than a feeling. It's a commitment. It's a commitment to one another. And God is always, always committed to us. Throughout the Bible, he's committed to us. We can experience that love. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is David writing, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. We can experience God's love. God's love is not a feeling. God's love is the truth that we know that he's with us and for us. God's love is unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's personable. The next one is that God's love is acceptable. That means that even in spite of all the past failures that we've walked through, the things that we've perpetrated sometimes at God, oh yeah, God, well, how about this? It doesn't matter. God's love is acceptable. He will still receive us if we turn to him. There's nothing that we can do that is so bad that will ever, ever keep us from God's love. In fact, can I share scriptures? Not in your notes. But I was reading this morning, just as I was going through my message, just God brought this scripture up, and it's so profound. I want you to get it. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. God's love is unconditional, sacrificial, it's personable, it's acceptable. God, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing that you can do that will keep you from God's love. There is something that you can do that will keep yourself from the place of God's love in your life. You can step back and you can do what you want because you don't believe that God really loves you. You're not quite sure that he even really exists. You're going to do your own thing, and that is the definition of sin. And there is a separation, but that separation of sin is not placed there by God. It's placed there by us because in our own arrogance or insecurity, we build a wall between us and God because we don't feel that we're worthy or we just want our way. And I've experienced both of those. But I'm here to say God's love is unconditional, it's sacrificial, it's personal. You can experience it. It's acceptable. There's nothing you can do to keep yourself from the love of to keep God's love from you. But you can do something yourself to keep you out of the place that he has for you. The last thing, the fifth one, God's love is accessible. It's not just reserved for a few. Well, God would love me if I do this. So here's the MO. Here's been the MO in my life. It was for years. I felt like God loved me when I was doing the right thing. But anytime I did the wrong thing, I felt like God was mad at me, and I kind of cowered down and I'd slink. We got a dog. Moved out to the country, got a dog, got a puppy. Cute, cute puppy, German Shepherd. Great dog. It's the most guilt-ridden dog I've ever seen in my life. Smart. That dog is so smart. He's super smart and so easy to discipline, except he's got one problem. He's got a guilty conscience. And I think it's because he's doing things that I haven't found out about. I can tell when he's done something because when I drive up in the afternoon, and I get out and I call for my dog. Zane, come here, buddy. And he's 4 months old now, and he's going to be a big dog. Normally, he comes running, you know, big goofy dog with these big old perky ears, and jumps up. And I pet him and play with him. But on those days when I drive up and I call for Zane, and Zane's not, he's not coming. And then I see him slinking away. I know he did something. So often, we act that way in our walk with God. We feel like, I can't be around him because I've really messed this up. It's a lie from the enemy. I hate seeing that in my dog. I'm like, listen, yeah, we're going to show you what's wrong, show you the right way, give you your treats for being good. But like, I want to be able to come home, and I want you to know that even if you've done something wrong, you know, I may have to show you, go take your head to it and go, no, don't eat the cat. Like, he did. He had a problem with not killing them, just like, la, la, la. Don't eat that. Man, my heart for us is that we don't allow our own stupidity, because we're not perfect yet, to keep us from the place of God's love. For years, I did that. For years, I would feel like I'm confident in my walk with God because I'm doing the right thing. But the moment that I would do something stupid or say something stupid, almost always in a moment where I'm emotionally agitated, I'm wired up, I'm in the flesh. You know, I'm like doing it my way because things got to get done. And I do or say something stupid and then like, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And I just feel like there's this huge disconnect from God. And here's the problem, because there often is when we do it our way. That is sin. But when we go, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that again. Help me to never do that. Thank you, Jesus. You paid for that on the cross and you're alive. So make me alive in you. Even when I pray that, I'd be like, well, God's still mad at me. God, I can't be. Does anybody else struggle with that? Come on. Have y'all struggled with that condemnation? Well, I just pray that you can get a revelation that you don't have to walk in that condemnation, like feeling like I've got to perform for God to love me. Nope, his love is unconditional. He showed it by being sacrificial. He wants you to experience his love. He's there waiting. It's acceptable and it's accessible at all times. God's love never fails us. In fact, let's look at 1 John 4, 9 through 12, and then 16 through 19. As we see in this, that the password to God's love is Jesus. And the problem is some of us have problems with passwords. I've got three and variations with numbers. Anybody else have, like, you have pretty much the same password for everything? Come on, don't lie. I got to have the same password for everything because it seems like I can't remember that password all the time. And then it's like, what? I've got an account. What's my iTunes? I'm locked out of my iTunes account. What's my password? And then I got to get somebody to find me. Like, hey, Pastor Josh. I love Pastor Josh. He helps me in so many ways. But I got to call Pastor Josh. What's my password for this account? Have you tried this? I tried that. And normally he'll have to come. He'll have to take my phone or my computer and like give it to me. And it'd take 5 minutes, go to his. They have a keychain. Y'all ever heard about that? They got a keychain for passwords. I'm like, I can't figure that out, please. When I was growing up, they just had the rotary thing that you stuck your finger in. Yeah. Nobody remembers that? You had to like wait if you wanted to call somebody. You couldn't pick up the phone and like, call Lisa. I couldn't, I can just talk to him. You can hold your phone. Back then it was like. And nobody seemed to be mad about that wait. You know what I'm saying? But now we want it on demand right now. Whoo, I lose my passwords. And I'm telling you, the password for us to experience God's love is an understanding of Jesus. 1 John 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and his only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to, what's it say? Love one another. The fullest expression of God's love in our life, receiving it, is our ability to give it to others. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We love because he first loved us. The two secrets that I want you to get about love are this. The first one, the secret of love is being loved by God. The secret of love is being loved by God. You cannot give what you have not received, and God is the creator of love. And you will only give, if you have not truly experienced the love of God, you're only going to be able to give a portion of love. But when you experience the fullness of God's love and you don't live in the place of condemnation where you feel like you got to work and perform to be right with God, until you get to the place of embracing his love, disbelieving the lie of condemnation, you'll never truly be able to give love. Why was my love and showing it towards the people that I cared about the most messed up for so long? Was because I knew God loved me, but like I truly didn't embrace that completely. Like surely like there's an ulterior motive. You only love me when I'm good, when I'm doing this, when I'm going this way. And so I lived in this really warped world of I had to perform for God to love me. And it meant that when I gave love, it was because that person did what? Performed. It's messed up. There's a place of freedom and love. When we are free to experience God's love. And the secret is being loved. It's like a well. What goes down comes up in the bucket, doesn't it? If it goes down in the well, what comes up? What's in the well? For so long, the well of my marriage, the well of my relationships, I was spitting into that well, not believing that God loved me and it could be a pure love. Don't do that. The secret of being loved, of love, is being loved by God. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I read it wrong for a lot of years. This is how I read it. Love is patient. Well, I failed that one. Love is kind. Man, messed that up. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. What? I don't boast. I'm perfect. It's not proud. Well, good thing, because I'm not. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It took me a lot of years before I could get to the place where I read this and went, I'm done. This is pathetic because I'm certainly not a patient. Patience has to be first. Jeez Louise, come on, man. Why does it have to be patience at the front? It's not patient. It's not kind. Yeah, well, maybe I'm not the kindest person, but at least I'm speaking the truth, right? Nobody else like that? I read this so messed up and so wrong because I read it through the lens of my understanding of what love was. But it wasn't until I received the truth of God really loves me, that his love is unconditional, and I needed to stop throwing up walls because of my failures, because Jesus tore them down, and I knew that in my head, but I had to get it in my heart. Now I can read it as it is. Love is patient and kind because God is. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud because God is none of those things. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil. The last sentence, love never fails. Many times we fail in love because we are unable to receive God's love. The secret of love is being loved by God. That's one. Here's the second secret. I so want you to get this. The secret of love is showing God's love to others. Show God's love to others. It becomes really easy. I did it for years as like a mandate, where in the scripture it says, do the work of an evangelist. Paul writes to Timothy saying, do the work of the evangelist. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to work. I'm going to make sure that I am. I was very works driven. I didn't understand. I didn't have a real huge revelation of God's grace. You loved me at my worst. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were sinners at our worst, Christ died for us. Wow. The secret of love is showing God's. You're not going to be able to easily show God's love unless you experience God's love. And when you do, it becomes second nature to show God's love. Does it mean we're perfect? Nope. But it means that we can do what God's called us to do, not as an act of obedience, though it is an act of obedience, but because our heart has been transformed. In all of this, I want you to get the heart behind it, that uncommon relationships begin with an uncommon understanding of love comes from God. The secret of love, showing it to other people. So this is where the message gets really practical. Really practical. I want you to get the revelation of God's love. I don't want you to operate in condemnation. If there's one thing I can have out of this message for you, it's don't operate in condemnation. Receive God's love because it is available. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial, personable. It's accessible and it's acceptable. I want you to get that so that you don't operate in condemnation like I did for so long. But I also want you to be able to show God's love with some practicals. Can we go through those? Very simple. Showing God's uncommon love, five things, like five little love handles. Or not. Here it is, the first one. Say it. Say it. How do you show uncommon love? Showing God's, you have to speak it. The three most powerful words in the human language. I love you. I love you. Say it. Say it. I mean, you got, I love you. You know, the next most powerful three small words that make a huge difference. I forgive you. I forgive. If you harbor unforgiveness, you don't think that that's going to affect every relationship that you have, you don't understand God's definition of love. Go back and read Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. I love you. You have to say it. Say it. I forgive you. Powerful words. And then the next three most powerful words, I became a professional at saying these because I was dumb too often, is please forgive me. Some of y'all need to say that, men. Please forgive me. Because had I not become a professional repenter and forgiveness asker and apologizer, I wouldn't be married. I probably wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have had the job. Because anybody else, you just mess things up sometimes? Like, and your greatest strength will be your greatest weakness. Like, I can say things. I can say, seldom have I walked away from a confrontation and walked away and went, man, if I could just say it this way, if I'd have just said that. My problem was like, oh, I know exactly what to say to put you in your place, buddy, so why don't you shut up and listen? And then I'd say it. And you walk away going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Did that really happen? And I had to learn how to say, please forgive me. There's another set of three words. Okay, really, it's four words, but prepositions don't count. They really do, but you know what I mean. I'm going with three here, okay? I'm proud of you. Your words have an unbelievable impact on the word, on the people around you and the world around you. I love you. I'm proud of you. And as a 31-year-old man, those words transformed my life because I heard them from my father. Even though he had said them before, it was sincere and I needed to hear it. And it began the process of changing that performance-driven, condemnation-filled view of love. Say it. The second thing, write it. Words are unbelievably powerful. Write it. Write it down. I have in my desk, in my office, it's my second drawer on the left, I have a drawer that is shoved full of cards that people have written me over the years. I keep every card that I get and I put it in there. And every so often, if I'm feeling discouraged or feeling down or just feeling like, man, I don't know if I can do this, I'll open that drawer up and I'll begin to read those cards. I have cards from my wife. I have cards from close friends. I have cards from people I barely met. And every time I read that, I get a fresh revelation. Okay, God, I'm not going to operate in condemnation. I'm not going to operate in discouragement. I'm going to believe that you love me and other people do as well. That's not weakness. That's strength. Say it. Write it. And let me just say, with both of those, sometimes you got to bro that up. You know what I'm saying, man? Y'all don't know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying? You got to be like, love you, bro. Love you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Even in text message, be like, oh, yeah, man, love you. What? Yeah, like cool sunglasses emoji. Love you too, bro. Bro it up. Write it. Say it. Just do it. The third thing, give it. Give it. Some of the biggest gifts I've ever received were the smallest tokens that just required a little bit of time and thought. Psalms 101:3, I will set no worthless things before my eyes. A really rich family that I knew gave me, for graduation from high school, a plaque this big with an old school plaque with like black with like the gold engraving in it and it had an eagle. I mean, it was hokey 80s stuff. And this was, you know, the 90s when I graduated. And they Psalms 101:3, and I got that and like, where's the cash? Where's the check? Come on. I was like, thanks so much. But I put it on my nightstand. And that became one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. It's the little things that matter. My grandmother, who I was very close with, when she died, we were going through her junk closet. Everybody here got a junk closet. Y'all got a junk closet? Come on, let's be honest. Y'all got a junk closet? Like, you got a place where you just shove all the junk? Everybody has that. We're going through her junk closet, and we find a shoebox full of old cards. And it's like from family members for birthdays and my grandfather for anniversaries. And in there, we find a little card that was written from somebody at church that says, we received your prayer request. And I want you to know, Sandy, that we're praying for you. She put that in with all of her most valuable cards that had ever been written. One little simple act of giving someone time to write it out. Send it. It's the little things that make a big difference. Uncommon love. Say it, write it, give it. Here's the fourth one. Forgive it. You're never more like Jesus when you forgive. You are never more like Jesus when you forgive. And if you want to have an uncommon love, you want to experience and give uncommon love, forgiveness will be foundational in that because you'll have to receive forgiveness from God to experience his love. You'll have to, maybe you're like me and I had to forgive myself for all the stupid things that I had done and release myself into the place of forgiveness. Forgive me for my own stupid actions so that I could receive the fullness of God's love. And then I had to forgive others around me. Forgive it. And the last thing as we wrap up, live it. Live it. Live it out every day with the people around you that you count most dear. Get around a group of people that can encourage you in your walk with God, that you can show God's love to you and they are demonstrating God's love to you in return. That's why when you hang out here, you're going to hear me say all the time, get into a small group. Get into a small group. Man, I want you to grow. In fact, I want you to get into grow. I want you to get connected to God and your purpose with Him. That's why we exist as a church. I want you to get into grow. That's our growth track. It's actually today, right after this service, the food and child care provided. Because I want you connected to God's purpose for your life. And I want to give you the opportunity to connect to godly people so that you can live it out. You want uncommon love in your life? You've got to live it as well. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. My prayer is that you experience an uncommon love from God, and then you're able to give that uncommon love to the people around you. That you can get the heart of unconditional, sacrificial, personal, acceptable, accessible love from God, and you can give it in the form of saying it, of writing it, of giving it, of forgiving it, of living it out every day. It makes all the difference. I've been in a place where I've been in terrible relationships. I was in a terrible marriage. And then God put me in a new one. It just happened to be with my wife from the first one as well. It's the same wife, new relationship. What changed? God showed up. I received His love and was able to reciprocate it. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to receive God's love. Whether it's for the very first time and you've run from God for years and years, maybe that's you, and for the first time you need to surrender your life to the love of God and He is calling out to you. He is saying to you, stop running, that you've sensed Him pursuing you for years. God does that. Today is the day that you turn to Him. Maybe that is you, and that you make this moment a moment of decision and commitment to Him. And maybe you're here and you were kind of like me, like you knew about God. You'd surrendered your life to Him, but you operated under so much condemnation that you could not fully receive God's love. Whether this is for the very first time or it's the very first time that you're realizing I've dealt with condemnation and it's crippled me. Either one of those, today is your day to come to Jesus. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me. Right where you are, I want to pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me today. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands over here, right in the middle. I see three, right here, back over here. I see it as well. Let's all pray together. You can just repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I surrender to you. I choose you. I turn from my ways. I believe that you love me. You paid the price of sin. Jesus, I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. And there's such, but y'all can look up here, there's such power in a prayer like that. When we mean it and believe it. And let me tell you, God moves on us. And you may have been here. This may be your first time in a church ever. Or maybe the first time that you walked in and you thought, well, maybe the roof won't fall down on me. Or maybe you've been here 100 times. And God calls us, man. He calls us to Him. Even this morning, I was like, Lord, I'm upstairs in my office going, Lord, I recommit all of this to you. My relationship, I want to receive your love. I refuse to operate in condemnation. I want to live out an uncommon love, but I need yours first. So for those of you that raise your hands, can we give them a hand? Because that's awesome. If you did, here's what I ask. In a moment, we'll receive offering. Fill out this connection card. Let us know what's going on so we can connect you with relationship and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. Isn't it a great day? Thank y'all. Love y'all. Pastor Josh, come on up. Y'all give him a hand.